Baal HaTurim points out that in Parshas Tetzaveh, Moshe Rabbeinu's name does not appear. And the Baal HaTurim says that the reason that, since Moshe Rabbeinu comes on the scene in Parshas Shmos, the reason that Parshas Tetzaveh is where his name does not appear is because next week's Parsha, Parshas Kisisa, Moshe Rabbeinu says that in the argument with Hashem, that he wants Hashem to save the Jewish people, to forgive the Jewish people, and if not, mechenina mesifrucha asher kasavta, as a fulfillment of the words of the tzaddik, in this week's parasha, his name doesn't appear. And the Vilna Gaon gives a different explanation. The Vilna Gaon says that the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu usually appears right around the time, falls out right around the time of Parshas Tetzaveh. And therefore, to commemorate the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, we take his name, so to speak, out of the parsha. Rav Soloveitchik gave a different explanation. Rav Soloveitchik says the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear is because Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parsha suffers a monumental disappointment. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was in line to become the Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu was the number one in Klal Yisrael, so it would make sense that he would be the Kohen Gadol. And yet, in this week's parsha, in the third pasuk, Moshe's commanded, Hakrev Elecha Aharon Achicha. Make Aharon, bring him close, make them the Kohanim for me. So Aharon is appointed as the Kohen. And Rashi, in Perek Dalet of Shmos earlier, when Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to go and take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu shies away from the job, and Hashem, so to speak, punishes him for that. The Gemara in Zvachim tells us, Rashi quotes it, that Hashem punishes Moshe and says, if you're not going to go take them out, so then I'm not going to make you the Kohen Gadol. So the disappointment comes to fruition in this week's Parsha, and because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu, to mark this turning point in his life, so to speak, Moshe Rabbeinu, his name is taken out of the Parsha. This great disappointment. I thought it was ironic because other Mefarshim point out that Moshe Rabbeinu has never been more present than in this week's parsha. What do I mean by that? So when you say Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, the pasuk says that Hashem spoke to Moshe. What's taking place over there? The answer is, you know what's taking place? There's a conversation going on between Hashem and Moshe, and the Torah records that conversation. What happens in our parsha? So the first pasuk, Va'ata Titzaveh, you. Hashem says you. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, front and center. Not Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. There's a conversation somewhere taking place between Hashem and Moshe. It's right here. Hashem is right here. Ve'ata titzaveh. You, Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, the Rav Gedalia Shor in the Or Gedalia O says that the vav of ve'ata is and to show a connection that he's, so to speak, one with Hashem. And he says that it's the opposite. The reason Moshe doesn't appear is because he's so to speak taken on a new form. That he's lost his sense of self and he's become so intertwined with Ribbono Shel Olam. So not that his name is missing, but he's become almost so connected to Hashem that he's subsumed under Hashem. So ve'ata titzaveh, you Hashem, you're right here. And the third pasuk ve'ata akrev elecha, and then the fifth pasuk in the ve'ata tidaber, it's you. Hashem is talking to Moshe. You're right in front of me, like we say in Shemoneh Esrei, Baruch Ata Hashem. You Hashem, I'm talking to you. I'm right in front of you, and we're having a conversation. Moshe Rabbeinu, in a sense, is never more present than in this week's parsha. How do we balance those two? On the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is missing, and the Mefarshim spend time trying to figure out why it's missing. And on the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu could never have been more present. I think the answer is that struggles in a person's life, disappointments in our life, can be viewed in two ways. On the one hand, it's a letdown. It's disappointing. And on the other hand, it's an opportunity for growth. On the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu was very disappointed. Like the Rav said, he's disappointed. It's a letdown. He wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. Chazal say if he would have been the Kohen Gadol, the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan would never have been destroyed. Moshe Rabbeinu yearned for the opportunity to go lifnai v'lifnim. And in this week's parsha, he's met with disappointment. He's met with a challenge, with a struggle. But at the same time, when we're challenged, if we're able to overcome that challenge, it becomes not a stumbling block, but a stepping stone to become even greater. And that's why, at the same time that Moshe Rabbeinu struggles, in a sense, it's the time in which he's most here. It's the time in which he's most present. It's his shining moment. Yeah, I don't know what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu was disappointed. But when you follow the story in the Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu is there front and center, doing whatever he needs to do. If his Avodas Hashem requires of him to help Aaron become the Kohen, he helps Aaron become the Kohen. In next week's Parsha, he goes up Har Sinai, he comes down Har Sinai, and he breaks the Luchos, because that's Yashar Kochacha Sheshibarta. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted. And we follow Moshe Rabbeinu through the 40 years in the Midbar, through all the struggles, through all the controversies, the way Moshe Rabbeinu handles himself. He has struggles, but they're moments of growth. And that's the duality in this week's Parsha. On the one hand, Moshe's not here because Moshe is suffering a great disappointment. And at the same time, he's ever so here. He's Atah, he's you, he's right here with the Ribbono Shel Olam throughout the Parsha. Because when a person struggles, it's an opportunity to grow. They tell the story of Rav Shmuel Halevi Vosner. Rav Vosner was one of the leading poskim of our generation. He passed away just a few years ago. He was over 100 years old. You know, we think of Rav Vosner as the Baal Shevet Halevi. He wrote many, 11 or so volumes of Shilos and Shuvas. He wrote Svarim Shevet Halevi. He had a Beis Din. He was one of the Poskei Hador. But he was once a young boy. And he was a young boy who went to try and get into the Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin. Trying to get into Chachmei Lublin in the 1930s was not like the way we get into yeshivas now. Now we make a phone call, we take an interview, maybe on Zoom, maybe in person, depending where it is. We pay the tuition, we fill out the forms. By the time we show up to the yeshiva, there's a bed for us, there's a place for us to eat, there's a shir for us, everything is set up. In those days, you packed your suitcase and you walked and you took a train to the next town or to whichever town to come to the yeshiva. You took a faher if you got in, you opened up your suitcase and you unpacked, wherever it is, if you had a space, and if not, you kept your suitcase closed and you walked back to the train station. Now little Shmuel Vosner took a faher and he didn't get in. And he left and he checked for the next time the train was coming, and it was going to be a little while, so he went to the local shul. And he sits down to learn, and he's sitting with his Gemara. Rav Meir Shapiro walks in, he hadn't been around during the day, he walks into the shul, and from Arav, and he sees this little boy sitting and learning, and he goes over to the boy and he says, "Who are you? What are you doing learning here?" And the boy says, "My name is Shmuel Vosner, and I came from such and such a town, and I tried to get into the yeshiva, and unfortunately I wasn't accepted." So he said, "What are you doing here?" Like, he said, "Well, it was a long journey, and I wasn't able to learn, and I really just want to learn. I want to learn." And Rameir Shapiro was so impressed with that. Somebody who should have been so disappointed. At that moment in his life, he wasn't thinking about living in Bnei Brak with a Beis Din and a Shevet Alevi. He was thinking about, "I just want to get into this yeshiva of my dreams." And his dreams were dashed. And what was his response? Keep learning. He didn't let his disappointment get him down. He let his disappointment be motivation to keep on working. So he goes back to shul and opens up his Gemara. Meir Shapiro is so impressed. He says, "You're the type of boy I want in my yeshiva." And as they say, the rest is history. Disappointments are frustrating. And they're disappointment. They're disappointing. But they don't have to be stumbling blocks. They could also be stepping stones. Have a good Shabbos.